this is not the era of child rearing I'm afraid of. It's the high school era.
Oh, no.
The terror squad.
Yeah,
era.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Like 13 to 17 is like, or even probably starts at like 11 or 12 nowadays.
They're expensive. They smell.
They're rude.
They think they know everything. They eat everything.
Yeah.
But right now the mistakes are, don't ever raise your voice at me again. I told you to be careful. You spilled the juice again. Why are you drawing on the walls? Like, those are the mistakes. And in high school, the mistakes are like, you could mess up your life, my life, people around you's life.
And the response is not like, sorry, it's F you, screw you.
Yeah.
I can't. If my kid looked at me and said, let me just chill. If my kid looked at me and said F you at any point ever,
Agree with that, I will say there are so many things that I said before kids where I was like, if my kid ever, that my kid now does routinely. I would always say to my mom, to my wife, I would literally see things happen in real life and be like, oh, not my kid. Oh, no, never that. Not my kid. And now it is one of my kids. I'm not going to shame them because they may go back and listen to this. But one of my kids is that kid where I'm like,
they're not gonna come back. They're not listening to this.
Everybody's
in their own world. Everybody's self-absorbed. They're not listening. Oh, what's dad doing at work? No. So you just fire off shots and feel no ways.
What's the Eddie Murphy skit? And he's like, Mom, we ran out of film. He's parroting a certain type of child.
Yeah.
Which, if you know, you know. I'm not going to overly describe the child. But we all were in school. We're like, oh, man. Brad can just talk any type of way to his mom.
Call his mom a B.
Yeah. My kid shows glimpses of that. I'm like, oh, I'm letting down my ancestors in real time.
All right, let's start the show.
Yeah, let's start the show.
I'm going deep. I feel like Halo on the Miami Heat. The words I speak off this sheet are like a three-peat. I don't just hop on a track, I bring running cleats. I'm a player for real, more than an athlete. Let my mama tell it, could have ran for the Senate. Instead, I penned it for Donovan Bennett. I'm cemented, this a deep dive. In your headphones or a long drive. Up close and personal, just like you courtside. There ain't no out of bounds here, no offsides. We going live in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You are now tuned in to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
That's right, it is the Going Deep podcast. Shout out to Capital once again for the intro. I am Donovan Bennett. I have two of my faves who need no intro, but I'll give you one anyways. Your favorite athlete's favorite reporter.
Let's go.
Cabral Richards in the building.
Let's go.
And joined by someone who's friend of the pod, hasn't been on for a minute, so we had to get him back on. Your favorite actor, musician, reality star's favorite reporter, and morning show host Shem joins us.
Hey, thank you.
Who actually could do all those things. He can act, he can sing, he could be on a reality
show. Videos on social doing like send-ups of like songs or parodies of songs.
Yeah, man.
Like once a month or like once every couple of months?
You know what? We just finished our 28th straight month of doing a parody video. Yeah, it's been,
when is,
it's
has
been
it been
two
posted?
And a half years. No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
You usually post them on Friday.
Right at the end of the month. End of the month. Yeah.
Okay.
Denzel has a speech about discipline and consistency.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if I have the discipline or consistency to do anything for 28 straight months.
It's
never
hard.
Mind.
What's his line? Dreams without goals or just dreams? Something like that?
I actually stole this bar and said it to a high school recently. I have it in a deck. What is it? Dreams without goals are just dreams, and ultimately will lead to disappointment unless those goals are followed with, this is paraphrasing, butchering the bar, discipline and consistency.
Right, yeah, that's the essence of the bar. Which salute to Denzel Washington.
Which is very, very true. Last Denzel bar, it didn't take long for us to get on a random stream of consciousness about nothing we plan to talk about. One thing he said that really stuck with me is, you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. You never see a U-Haul behind a hearse, meaning all of the things that you accomplish, all the things you do, all the money that you make, you can't take any of it with you. So you have to focus on the dash in between those two numbers on your tombstone, and ultimately that'll be your legacy. Which, oddly enough, brings us to, before we get into sports, someone who's synonymous with sports in our country. We lost Darren Dattician this week.
Big loss.
When I say my entire timeline was people talking about him, sending videos that he did, talking about his inspiration, it literally was that. I'm trying to think of something close. Kendrick and Drake would be the recent example where, like, it was, other than that, it was like sponsored post. Everything right. else was right. just that. Cab, you obviously worked with him.
Yeah, my thought or my sentiment is he was a larger than life character, very beloved, very sharp, very witty. He made people feel comfortable by like ripping some people in power. So like the EAs in the newsroom felt like, oh, okay, like I'm okay to laugh about the boss because Dutchie just, you know, tore this guy's back off or the neck off, and he was a really good dude. I remember watching football games at the crib on Sunday, and Dutchie would come over, and we're just, you know, and he would have a line for like every game as we're watching the ticket or whatever it was a few years ago. I haven't seen him in a few years, unfortunately, due to COVID and stuff, but he will be remembered very fondly, and it's a huge loss for TSN.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a bit morbid, but I've been thinking about death more recently, maybe because we've lost a couple people, and thinking about legacy and how people will talk about you after you're gone, which is like a kind of an egotistical thing to think about. Like, why do you really care that much?
What is it? Well, Hope say they never really miss you till you're dead or you're gone.
Yeah. Anyways, the place that I've come to is trying as best I can to have an attitude of gratitude while I'm here.
It's the best.
Yeah, and just go hard for the things I believe in and the people I believe in while I'm here. Because, man, 57, like, that's young. Not a lot of time.
Very young. For me, when I didn't have any personal connection with Dutchie, but for me, it's the voice. That iconic voice just really, you know, it reminds me of listening to sports growing up, right? And it just, yeah, really, really sad. And the love on the timeline, which is so rare, by the way. It's so rare to see people, you sort of, you know, come together and unite and love one individual. It was great to see. Yeah. Sad to see, but great to see as well.
For sure. Shouts to Kate and everyone who worked with him and who loved him and who miss him. And certainly have more profound stories about him than I would, because they knew him personally. I just met him in passing. But one of the things that struck me was there's an exec that you used to work with at the other place in Agent Court who was talking about talent, and he was saying, well, there's only so many people who, when they walk in the room, no matter who's in it, like, they command the room. Essentially talking about on air and like, are you really built for this? Are you really cut from that cloth? And me, I'm okay just like sliding in the room and playing my position and staying in the corner. Like, I'm not that guy. But, you know, to be that air chair, to be that large personality, if you had to come up with an example for that, you know, certainly he was one. I remember seeing him at tailgates in Buffalo at Ralph Wilson at the time, New Era Now. And he would be holding court.
Yeah.
With like,
that was his like resting position. He's like holding court in front of, you know, dozens or hundreds of people.
Yeah. And was same voice, same energy, same smile. I wasn't, you know, all up in the mix, but probably the same crass jokes. So, you know, salute to him and all who loved him. Speaking of NFL, that's the thing, dude. It's May.
Yeah.
Like, we're approaching May 2-4.
Are you talking about the schedule release? You're talking about Tom Brady?
I'm talking about everything. Like, I cannot escape the National Football League on timeline, on TV. We're in the height of the NBA playoffs, two Canadians balling. We were in the height of the NHL playoffs, two Canadian teams. Essentially, one has to go to the conference finals. So you're essentially four wins away, Canada. Because we love to click up and just cheer for, you know.
I mean, do we though? Like, I don't know if the rest of the country rides for Vancouver. Like in 2011, I don't know if the whole country was riding for Vancouver when they're in the Stanley Cup versus Boston. And even in 2020, when Montreal went on its run, I don't know if the whole country was riding for the Canadiens.
I think they were until they tore their city apart for the second time.
Well, that was Game 7. Like after Game 7, then they're like, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to wave this flag as high. Now, maybe Edmonton might be different because Connor McDavid is a generational talent and extremely likable. And we want to see this guy chase Wayne Gretzky's records. And it starts with winning a cup. Wayne, I believe, has 4.
Doug, we may not be as invested. We're not checking ice time and Corsi. But if it's on, you mean to tell me that the Florida Panthers are facing the Canucks? Average Canadian just turn it on and be like, indifferent. Don't care. Of course they're going to cheer for the team's called the Canucks.
The watch. They may not cheer.
We have 7 teams, and 2 of them essentially are named after Canada.
Like the Canucks and the Senators?
No, the Canadians.
Specific to Canada.
Specific to where they are, I suppose. I think the average Canadian hockey fan, I think for sure they're cheering for the Canadian team that's left.
Okay, but you're saying like the NFL, even though we have compelling storylines in the NBA playoffs, Jamal Murray, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and then the NHL playoffs, which have been awesome. I mean, salute to the Rangers going on to the Eastern Conference Final, and then Edmonton and Vancouver battling out in the West. The NFL dominates the schedule release is like, I love the NFL is, I believe totally it's taking its cues from the NBA because the NBA is truly a 12-month league because there's so much.
What did you just say?
Listen, this is my point. The NFL has taken its cues from the NBA because the NBA understands that it is an entertainment product first. Right. And salute to David Stern, the original gangster, who's like, we need to get Irvin Magic Johnson and Larry Bird on national TV live all the time because these two coastal forces, generational talents, will move the needle and people will unite around TVs to watch these. But
that's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
It's not the dumbest thing I've
ever
said.
That's like saying Jay-Z takes his cues from Memph Bleek.
There is zero. What are you talking about, dude?
If Roger Goodell woke up and looked at his balance sheet and saw Adam Silver's balance sheet, he'd have a heart attack.
I'm not saying the finances. Obviously, the NFL is a juggernaut in the United States or in North America. Yes, it's the revenue is either $9 billion or $16 billion. I don't know the exact number, but I'm saying as a methodology of entertainment, it understands that it needs to. It needs to chase the NBA because the NBA...
what are you talking about?
Dude, the stars are the product in the NBA. The game is the star in the NFL. But that is changing because since the NBA is a 12-month league and superstars move teams every single year and thus are in the cultural zeitgeist all the time. And NFL's like, hey, man, we need to compete with that because we are in the attention economy and the NBA players are at the center of the mainstream in the culture. From Caitlin Clark to Steph Curry.
Who's not in the NBA.
Well, she's in WNBA, but NBA, Jason, to LeBron James. The biggest stars on social in the world, not named Ronaldo, Messi, Neymar, Mbappe probably, are Bron, Curry, KD. There's like 15 of them. And then you get to OBJ, who has the most followers on IG in the NFL.
We'll let Speaker of the House Shem Burkitai in a second.
I can see to the gentleman to my right on the speaker, the Speaker of the House.
I'll just say.
That's my time.
I'll just say this. The NFL is the biggest gangster on the block. They're not following anybody.
Yes,
so much
are.
So,
yes,
so much so that the NFL is like,
who came up with Christmas games first, bro?
Who just stole Christmas games?
Yeah, but who came up with it first? I'm telling you, that it's following the blueprint of the NBA.
No, no, no. It's saying like, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your girl. I'm coming. I'm taking your stuff.
I know. It's coming for everything. It's coming for the whole block. Sorry, Speaker of the House.
No, this is great. I'm going to say this. The NFL, there's a reason that the NFL at the end of the year has the top 5, 6, 7, 8 most 20. Watch.
No, most it's like 93 games. Of 100 right, like of broadcasts the most,
yeah,
and
crazy.
Television.
It's insane. I agree that the game is definitely at the center of the NFL in a way that it's not at the for the NBA. The NFL needs to create stars. They need to create drama and storylines. I also think there's so much parity in the NFL in a way that there isn't always the case in the NBA that you're right. They need to create drama because the drama is not with the players anymore. It's kind of NFL, in my opinion, year round can be kind of boring. Like the season itself is great. I'm an Eagles guy. Last season wasn't so great, but you know, I would say that, you know, the NBA has stars. They've got drama. The NBA has NFL wide receivers, right? In terms of drama, in terms of divas, in terms of personalities that you really latch onto year round. And yes, I can agree that the NFL probably would like to take a little bit of that, but the NFL is still king.
I think you guys are missing the point. The NFL is so big, it does not need to create stars. You're an Eagles fan. You're loyal to the logo. So whether it's Jalen Hurts or Carson Wentz or Nick Foles, and when they're on Sunday night or Monday night or Thursday night, you're watching, irrespective of who the stars are. The NBA has, for the first time at this point in the playoffs, no Steph Curry, no LeBron James, no Kevin Durant, essentially for a decade. And that certainly will impact their ROI. The entire league balance sheet went up, and thus the salary cap went up when Kevin Durant clicked up with the Warriors and they ran through the playoffs. And year after year, we saw LeBron and Steph in the finals. The NFL's bulletproof. It doesn't matter who is in the playoffs. It doesn't matter who is in the Super Bowl. Taylor Swift bump aside, either way, to your point, all of the watch shows are going to be the NFL, no matter who's playing. The Cowboys are terrible, and yet they're going to be on primetime all the time. We have the Kansas City Chiefs playing on every single day of the week except Tuesday this year.
That's insane.
These people do not care. And is Kansas City a big market? No. So I think they are the prototype that other leagues will love to embody. The difference, though, is culture. Similar to hockey in Canada, it is woven in the fabric of the culture of that country. So you can have a draft, which is sent, and by the way, the other leagues copy the NFL draft, who essentially is, you are watching a conference call for 3 days. That's what it is. You are watching a conference call, and people, not only do they have people watching in record numbers, people are now bidding to host the conference call where hundreds of thousands of people come into town to essentially watch people who they've never heard of and cheer for. They're getting all dressed up. Nobody else has the level of devotion or fandom that the NFL has. So I don't think they're copying anything. And to our point about the schedule release, you're saying the NFL is trying to be like the NBA and be 24/7. The NFL schedule release took over the conversation during the NBA playoffs. The fact that the Chargers had a Harrison Butker,
that's part of
Easter egg in their video. All of these teams are producing essentially like box office level videos to release a schedule.
But why are they doing that? Because there's an appetite. They need to entertain and excite their fan bases. That could just be an email. There just could be a link under the team's IG, description in the bio.
Not because they need to, because they know their fan bases care.
Because we're in the attention economy. And what better way to grab some attention is with either humor or a well-produced video that excites and drives hope for your fan
sure.
base. This is what the NBA does.
Do you remember
when players decide on July 1st, hey, I'm going to sign with Phoenix, or I'm James Harden, I'm forcing my way out of Philly to go to LA, or I'm LeBron, who's like, I'm going to sit courtside with my beautiful wife, Savannah, in Cleveland just to let people know that I still wield all of the power in this league. And even though Bronny is draining 11 for 11 three-pointers and he's playing in some scrimmages or whatever, I'm just over here just intentionally drinking my wine and just letting people know that I might be back in L.A. or I might go sign with Bronny. I'm not just going to say anything. I'm just going to let everybody speculate.
Do either of you remember when the MLB schedule was released?
No.
Do you remember when the NBA schedule was released?
No.
Do you even know who's on the NBA schedule tonight?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I think the Nuggets. The Mavs play the Thunder.
No, it's Knicks Pacers tonight.
You guys are proving my point.
It is.
You don't know who's playing in the playoffs tonight.
I will just look at my app, bro. I'll look at an app and then I'm saying, And then I'll schedule my viewing habits accordingly.
The NFL schedule was trending. There were multiple post-release shows about it. It was different games were leaked for a week. We just found out out of nowhere, Netflix has games on Christmas Day. They just hit you with a new broadcast partner as if you didn't have enough. And we're struggling to figure out who's playing the NBA playoffs tonight.
Not struggling. We could just look at our phones,
Do we need to replay you just stuttering, trying to figure out
who's playing tonight? I didn't know off the top of my head, but I could look at my phone, and then it will tell me who's playing at 8 p.m. Eastern.
But you know off the top of your head that the Chiefs are playing the Ravens week one, and then the Chiefs go to the Bengals week two.
I did not know that off the top of my head. I mean, I could have looked for my – I did know that the Chiefs are playing every day this year except Tuesday, and there's a friggin' date – on the schedule where the Chiefs play in Buffalo and Taylor Swift, she's playing in Toronto during that time. So Taylor Swift will likely make an appearance at a Buffalo Bills game because unless her and Travis break up, which will then spark another two or three albums.
Nah.
And what was it? What was the last one? Dead Poets Society or something?
Torture Poets Society.
Torture Poets Society. Yeah. So we'll get a double disc in 8 months from Taylor.
As Drake said, he's only moving for Taylor Swift. He's only moving his release date for Taylor Swift.
Wait, what does that mean in reference to the NFL?
I think
nobody is moving
that,
off of anything unless it's the NFL. They have moved presidential campaign debates off of the NFL. That's how powerful this league is.
Of
course. Are they doing? They didn't do that for the World Series. They're certainly not doing that for Thunder Mavs.
I'm saying just as a entertainment product, it is following the steps laid out by the NBA because the NBA is an entertainment product first and a sports organization second, and it understands what it is better than any other league. Shem, you were going to say.
No, I fully agree. I think the biggest gangster, the NFL, picked up another big gangster, Taylor Swift, and combined to create a superpower that can't be touched right now.
And then not really a throwaway, but you mentioned Netflix having Christmas games. Netflix is also coming for everybody, eating everybody's lunch.
WWE now.
And then the sports series, they have a series on Simone Biles, partnered with the IOC. They have a series coming out with just like sprinters, probably the American sprinters, but hopefully Andre DeGrasse and Aaron Brown get some shine on that, and the female sprinters too. And then the third one was the USA men's basketball, probably men's and women's USA basketball team that is going to Paris to compete. So the three new docuseries we'll get probably in 2025, amazing access behind the scenes, and I'm sure it'll be awesome. But Netflix has come for everybody.
Shem, this is interesting from an entertainment standpoint because we've talked about this on the pod, me and Cap, for a while about the fact that Netflix just throwing their stones in the water in terms of sports, not fully diving in. Do we have to rent the rights Amazon is or Apple is? We'll just give you the storytelling, the docuseries. And they have me out here watching Full Swing. And I'm now, as soon as I saw the Scottie Scheffler news, I'm like, is that going to be on Full Swing next season? Mm-hmm. And I see him get cuffed up and get a mugshot. They have me and my wife watching a series about the Tour de France. I didn't care about cycling post-Lance. Now you have me watching French subtitles for six episodes. But now, first the Tom Brady roast, which...
Amazing.
The NFL honors their own award show. Can't even get that many big-name people in the house. They do it. And then you've got them doing games on Christmas. And we're not really asking any questions. Who's broadcasting these games? Who's doing the color of the playback? We don't care. We're just like, all right, great. I already got the subscription. You see them as an entertainment powerhouse. Why do you think they're aligning themselves with live event sports programming in this way?
I think it's incredibly smart. I'm going to say this. I think last couple of years, Netflix has not been great with their original programming, in my opinion, right? It's been all right. It's kind of mid for the most part. But, HBO Max and Crave and all of them and Apple TV have really sort of stepped up their game when it comes to original programming.
But here's my question. Do they have to be? Whether it's Crave or HBO Max or Disney Plus, are you in a state with Netflix where you'll opt in, you'll opt out, or is it set it and forget it? Because Mom's is on there, I got a kid's one, and so I'll wait for something to pop. I'll wait for the next Love is Blind. You don't think that's one of their big properties?
Probably, yeah. I mean, but it's just the garbage, bro.
Have they got...
It's not something intellectual like three-body problem. You're just going to the other spectrum because you love just empty calories. And Love is Blind is the, like, it's seven bags of Cool Ranch Doritos and a giant 7-Eleven, like a 7, like a...
Listen.
You know, in the United States, you get like a 64-ounce, basically a 2-liter bottle of 7-Up. It's your favorite. It's M&M's. It's...
Reese's, come on. Reese's. Don't disrespect me like that.
One time this dude came over my curb, we're watching football. My guy brought his own Tupperware bowl of Reese's and had like a Costco-sized bag for himself and emptied it into the bowl. And we just sat there and watched football.
You don't got to get ready when you stay ready. I got my snacks.
Like, come on. Anyway.
The last season of Love is Blind gave us a great window into generational trauma.
Yeah. Shout out to Clay.
Yes.
Yep.
And do you bring those traumas with you into a new relationship? How do you shed them? It's as a black man, it was worth watching. The point being...
If I need generational trauma and I need, like, if I need trauma, I'll listen to Kendrick's Mr. Morale and the Big Stepper, okay? If I need therapy rap, then I'll listen to that, okay? I don't need Love is Blind.
Someone with short man syndrome who's jealous of someone in the same field.
Yeah, tell that to his Pulitzer Prize, bro. The highest honor in literature. Tell it to the Pulitzer Prize that damn is earned.
Which they should revoke at this point.
What are you talking about? Anyway,
because he's trying to be holier than thou, the next Pac, the next Farrakhan, but then he gets in the mud the most. Which one is it, Kendrick?
Wait, what do you mean? Are we all one thing? Is everybody one thing?
Well, if you're going to...
Are we not full humans with 360... My guy uncovered all his warts in Miss Morale and the Big Stepper. He said, yeah, there's violence in my home, and yeah, I had handed it to, and this has been passed down to me. Like, the guy was fully, like, it was his version of Jay-Z's 444 when Beyonce wrote Lemonade. It's like, hey, this has been my life with this guy, and Hov's like, you know what? All right, let me come clean, and this is what my deals with Becky with the good hair and why have a whatever. He had a bunch of very vulnerable bars where and Kendrick did the same.
Sure. So, and if I wanted therapy, I would go to therapy or
you watch,
I'd watch
Love is
Blind.
Oh my goodness.
That's correct. But you can't come for someone because of all their perceived warts. Meanwhile, you have a bunch yourself.
Yeah, you can. In rap, you can. It's really about who can do it first and who can
do it better, a better beat too.
To me, it was just like and for the uninitiated, we're talking about the Kendrick Drake beat, which I will ask Shem to give a Cole's Notes recap for the audience who wasn't paying attention. For me, you can't be I'm the light, I'm Mr. Pro Black. However, I'm going to get in the mud with you and tell you all the reasons why you're not black enough. Like, those two things don't compute.
It wasn't just that, bro. Remember, you're speaking like, the bar is like, dear Adonis, I'm sorry this man is your father. What?
Yeah,
level of diabolical is that, bro?
To me, it was not about morality or logic or reasoning. It was about jealousy. That was about emotion. It wasn't about being holier than thou, which is why I think he's a hypocrite. The difference is Drake has never proclaimed to be holier than thou. I'm giving you spring break music. Every summer or spring, I'm coming with fire. Discipline and consistency is what I'm giving you. I'm going to click up with 40. I'm going to click up with Boy Wonder. This is what I'm giving you.
Facts.
You want to come around every 4 years and preach how you're better than me, that's fine. But just don't be a hypocrite with it.
But if he's taking it as you're better than me, then that's a thing that's on Aubrey. That's not on Kendrick.
But that's where Drake messed up, though. See, I wouldn't have responded to anything if I'm Drake. You're the guy. You're MJ. You're the guy in hip hop. Quite frankly, in music, when these guys all come for you, drop an album, drop a verse, whatever. Ignore that. Make music for the ladies. Give us the bops in the summer. When you start to get into the mud. Try to be all lyrical miracle, and he's a great rapper, right? We can all agree that he's a great rapper. You will end up poking a bear named Kendrick Lamar that you don't need to poke. Drake should have stayed right above it. Should have been the internet guy, and he got outclassed in all those areas, which is heartbreaking for me as a man from Toronto. It's heartbreaking for me to even admit that, but he did. He got outclassed, and he didn't need to. He could have stayed above it. He could have. you know, created the memes. He could have done all the girly records, and he would have been fine. Now it's sort of tainted. His whole image and legacy is tainted.
But if he doesn't say anything,
who cares?
The Kendrick stance, the Kendras,
sure,
are saying,
oh my God, they're not the Kendras.
He's ducking the smoke.
Yeah, but you know what? Guess what? Listen, he's already got the L from Pusha T, right? That whole Pusha T beef. He's already got the L there, sure, right?
And he bodied Meek Mill, so he's
yeah, he's already won.
He's 1-1.
So, but no, listen, yeah, he's 1-1. But you're Drake. You already won. I saw a stat that 43.something% of Kendrick's streaming records right now are the Drake disses. 7% of Drake's streaming records, you know, again, by comparison, he can stay above it. He didn't need to get in the mud. He should have ignored it. The second you even acknowledge the noise, you are saying, yeah, you know what? That gets to me. I don't like it. And he opened himself up to a 20-1.
Yeah, I mean, as a competitor, though.
Yeah, of course. He has to respond.
How do you just...
No, don't at all. But you're the guy.
Yeah, but like you got it.
But who benefits?
MJ still claps back at LeBron every once in a while.
But how do you become the guy? You become the guy because you have this massive chip on your shoulder.
Sure. But the guy in what arena now we're talking? Are we talking about the guy in hip hop or are we talking about the guy in music? Because I think those are two very different things. If he wants to become the guy in hip hop, yes, he has to respond. It's competitive. We all know that. But he was the guy in music, in mainstream music.
Yeah, only Weeknd, I think, is his contemporary peer in music as like a male artist.
Totally. And Taylor Swift is his only other real comparison in terms of artists. You didn't need to do anything. Listen, Taylor Swift sends sneak disses to her exes, not really to other artists, because she knows she doesn't need to acknowledge anybody else because she's Taylor Swift. He is Drake.
A weird thing about Taylor is she is the one, maybe Beyonce too, or like the two artists that... You can't really publicly take shots at.
No, you that's career. That's career done.
Yeah, like an up and coming artist, like, all right, part of the album rollout is I'm going to take shots at these other artists. So, like, remember when Common did that with Drake?
With Drake,
and, like,
yeah.
The Common, and he's like, something Canada Dry, as was the line, which was a pretty good bar. But like, their fan bases, the Swifties and the Beehive, will murder your life.
Totally.
What would be a very compelling docuseries on Netflix is just music beefs. And go back to, like, start with, like, Paul McCartney versus John Lennon. Like, start with those icons. And, like, and I think there was, who wrote Layla again? Anyway. Eric Clapton.
That was show. That wasn't me.
Okay, so Eric Clapton had a beef with another artist because there was a woman that dated both artists. And then work your way up to, like, Nicki versus Cardi or Nicki versus Megan Thee Stallion. I don't think Beyonce and Taylor ever, but who knows? Like, in the next couple of years, maybe that, like, if those two fans, and then
something.
Obviously get to Kendrick and Drake.
Let me tell you something. If Taylor Swift and Beyonce start beefing,
it would actually be like a civil war. Yeah.
That's Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. That's what that is.
Magnified. The heads of state would probably have to comment on it.
Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want that. No, I think
before we got on this total sidetrack. I think you were talking about Netflix. Like, you were saying, why do you think Netflix is getting into business in live sports?
Look, I think Netflix recognizes that they are in the business of telling stories that are sort of beyond and transcend sports, right? So, find ways to sort of dip into the live sports and reach a different audience that maybe they wouldn't typically reach. Because you're right. I don't run to Netflix for live sports anymore. I don't at all. But now I might, right? And live comedy and all that. So now I might. So it's smart. And again, I think Netflix was lacking a little bit on the original programming, and they needed to do something. So they did it.
I'm sorry, Diamond. You said the Tom Brady roast was amazing. Do you also, Diamond, agree the Tom Brady roast was amazing? Because I also believe it was amazing.
I loved it. It was an hour too long.
It was 3 hours.
And we needed a little bit more editing on who the athlete roasters were going to be. But as a concept, especially as the first one, which I assume will be many to come, I loved it. Why don't we take a break there and go from one beef in feud to another? And this was Kraft Belichick was the beef that I was here to see in that roast. And I was surprised Kraft wasn't like, I hate the way that you walk. I hate the way that you talk. I hate the way you dress with your cutoff hoodies, Belichick. Why don't we take a break there, pay some bills, or if you're listening to this via podcast, we'll be back in 17 seconds, and we'll continue with the Netflix roast.
Cecil Bryan.
I'm Clifton Bryan.
My grandson is the show.
And I'm so happy that you are listening to Gondi with Donovan Bennett.
I'm so glad that you had the show. Thank you.
Right, thank you so much, Grandma and Granddad, who also have Netflix. I don't know if they know that they do, but it is logged in on their Rogers Ignite. Funniest thing is when I try to get them to do the voice activation on Ignite, and it's just a mess. I'm like, say how I met your mother, and they're like, say how I met your mother, and they're like, no, say how I met your mother. And then my grandmother's like, I gave birth to your mother. Like, what are you talking about? Goodness. I'm like, okay, never mind. This technology is not for you. The roast, though, 100% was for me. Kevin Hart, I thought, did an outstanding job.
He's awesome. What a week he's had. And the Kennedy, not the Kennedy honors.
The Mark Twain
Prize, which was also like a roast. Who knew it was going to be a roast? It was excellent too. Not all of it, but it was a great week for Kevin Hart.
He's a great example of the fact that there's no such thing as being canceled. Remember when he was like, quote unquote, canceled for like 17 seconds?
Right. He's going to host the Oscars, and then they rescinded the invitation to host the Oscars. Yeah.
Guy's been in bear movies since. Bear specials come out since and hosted this. I get why Kevin Hart did it. I get why Netflix did it. I get why someone who's on the come up like Andrew Schultz, who had a great show here in Toronto, sold out Madison Square Garden two nights in a row. Nikki Glaser, probably the biggest
winner.
She
was the best. She was the best.
She right? was awesome.
She was the best roaster.
But have you guys seen her? Her special just popped up on Netflix.
Banging or something, I think is what it's called.
Yeah. I started watching it. I couldn't get past 15 minutes.
Yeah.
The first 15 minutes was just like a long forensic exploration of fellatio.
Yeah, well, the entire thing is that. I watched all of hour 30. It's just that one topic the entire time.
I was like, man, after 15 minutes, I'm like, okay, I'm good. And I usually always watch a stand-up special all the way through. But I was a little bit disappointed.
I think that's testament that wasn't for you.
True, yeah.
You were not the intended audience.
But I like her, and I thought she was like unbelievable in the roast. As you said, she was the best one.
She was
her and Tony Hinchcliffe, I think, were the best roasters.
Yes.
Hinchcliffe came for 2 minutes. Oh. My guy came in swinging a sword that was on fire. He's like, I'm coming. Just like whatever the sword is in Game of Thrones, just like that, it's on fire and just taking everybody's heads off.
All great decisions for those people. No coincidence, they're stand-up comedians. I have a real struggle understanding why a couple people did this. Sometimes when the email comes through, you just got to say no. Or your manager needs to say no for you. Ben Affleck, didn't need you. Not good. Dana White, didn't need you. Not good. Last but not least, Tom Brady. Mm. I mean, we did need you. It was about you. But at the end of the day, not good. He's come out since and said he regrets doing it. The only thing that was off limits, reportedly, were his children. You know who probably got made fun of the next day at school? His children. Because when you essentially just have the entire cafeteria tell mama jokes on Netflix.
But it wasn't like
Cab.
Listen,
the running theme
already targets at their private school, bro.
Okay.
Their mom is a one name global icon. It's Giselle.
For how good she looks as well.
Of course, yeah. I mean, she's made hundreds of millions of dollars. They're already targets. Like, your mom is Giselle, bro. You think that's the first time Tom Brady's kid has heard how hot his mom is or whatever, or that his mom is like,
I think it's the first time it's trended
by the Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
The
dude is like, who shows up at 8 and leaves at 2:45 p.m.?
I think it's the first time with kids down the hall are like,
Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday?
Your mom does karate classes for 8 months and she still has a white belt. That stings. Listen, I'm not a child of divorce, but these kids are dealing with divorce in real time. Then, in the height of it, the best comedians in the world roast your mom and the camera cuts to your dad and he raises a glass. Come on!
Well, first of all, he's drunk. And secondly, it's a roast. Like, you have to enjoy.
He wasn't drunk when he said yes. And even worse, which lets me further know that in some ways this was a vendetta between Tom Brady and his ex-wife and not just a business opportunity. My guy caped up and said, don't you dare talk about Robert Kraft like that. Well, every everyone is roasting the mother of his children.
That's a weird one. I mean,
but do you wonder if he did this in large part because he's about to jump into the booth for the NFL next season?
I'm totally with you there.
Right? Like,
humble himself and also just seem like, oh, I can be the butt of the joke.
Totally.
Because if one screw up in the booth. Because the bar is set by Tony Romo. When Tony Romo first stepped in that booth, it was electric. This guy was predicting plays every game. And we're like, man, Tony Romo's amazing. And that was for like a couple of years. And so that's the standard that Tom Brady has to operate at. But a few flubs here and there, or a few things. He's just letting the audience know, like, hey, I'm human. I can be made fun of. And I know that I'm going to get an avalanche of hate if I misstep. In week one, Cowboys Browns, I think is his first game he's doing on Fox.
Yeah, and I think
he's don't act like you don't know. You know, man. You don't know who's playing the NBA tonight, but you know.
It's Cowboys Knicks, Browns.
And I think he's still competing, really, if you think about it, right? Tony Romo, as you said, set the standard, but also the Manning casts, right? With Peyton and Eli. I think he sees the popularity of those and he's like, all right, well, I gotta be a human, because let's be real. Of those quarterbacks, he is viewed as a robot and has always been viewed as a bit of a robot. This sort of humanizes him a little bit more. I wouldn't have done a roast if I were him. But yeah, it makes sense. I totally get why he would do it. No?
You know who is also low-key outstanding? Peyton Manning.
Yeah, he's great. Who, but that's on brand for Peyton Manning. He's like known as like the funny dad and has his entire career.
Yes, but post-career, maybe you ascribe too much of how they play to how they are as people. Post-career, he's really leaned into it and whatnot. We got glimpses of the commercials during the career in SNL, but that could just be writers. But on the Manning cast, he's carrying it. Like, Eli's kind of just there.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Peyton's really about the X's and O's, because that's what he loves. And yeah, you're right. Eli's just kind of there for, like, the hangout. He's like the chill brother. But Peyton's like, oh, on here, this, okay, what's in the nickel package or whatever? What's this part? And he'll... I mean, you love it as a football savant yourself. Peyton is really about those X's and O's.
I wonder if some of this is also Brady's way of getting a little bit of the Trump stink off him. Just a little bit.
That's interesting.
A little bit off him. Because he's going to be, again, broadcast to a wider audience, right? Wider audience is what I said in this way, right? So I imagine that, I wonder if that's also part of the strategy and thinking going into this roast.
We also don't know how big the check was. Like, that was, you have, like, I don't know, 20, 30 people on stage. Obviously, like, Netflix owned L.A. for, like, 2 weeks. The Netflix is a joke festival. And then you're in this huge theater. That thing could have been, like, an $80, $100 million price tag. Because Kevin Hart's probably not getting what's his manager's name? Dave Becky is probably not responding. Nikki Glaser said it. At the Mark Twain. No, yeah. Was it Nikki Glaser? No, Chelsea Handler was saying... At the Mark Twain Prize, the Kevin Hart roast, she's like, these guys don't answer anything, like even for me, even for whatever. But I'm sure when it's, you know, so-and-so at Netflix.com, you see in the inbox, and then it's like, Kevin's probably not doing that for anything less than 5 or 10 mil. And so, and Brady himself, like, what's going to excite this guy? The price tag's got to be somewhere on 80 to 100 million, because it was epic. Huh. And a flawless television production for 3 hours live, it was flawless. That was impressive. So they probably got the best in the biz to do that.
I don't know what the price tag is on your children's self-esteem.
Okay, fine.
But evidently, they reached that threshold. The roast I would love to see, I don't know if you guys have anyone in the sports world that you think, okay, could be the next one.
Tiger Woods?
Braun.
Well, one, Tiger's not happening.
You're right.
There's 0%.
Yeah.
It's got to be LeBron. When he's done?
I think also not happening, because he cares too much about how people perceive him. To me, I would love some version of A, Shaq, or B, the inside the NBA crew, as potentially we could be watching the last weeks of the inside the NBA crew.
They've done that. There was a roast of the inside of the NBA in like 2 or 3 years ago. And Jeff Ross was the roast
master,
general. And Shaq did have a roast in like 2000 or 2001 where I think Jamie Foxx was making fun of Jason Kidd's son, who had like a big head at the time, TJ or whatever the kids. So those have happened. They haven't been updated, but the inside the NBA squad has been roasted at a at a, it was after Toronto. It was sometime in the last like 5 or 6 years, but that's happened. And Shaq, but Shaq hasn't happened. But Shaq is like, we're talking about people wanting to like him. And that guy's, so there's that. He's also like the most sensitive athlete maybe ever. Like Charles says it all the time. And Charles is such a great sport. He's really the secret sauce because he can take the joke, but Shaq definitely cannot take the joke.
No, I think Shaq knows he can be the butt of the joke. I think that is the position he plays on inside the NBA. Sensitive, yes, because bringing it back to rap beefs, the NBA version of a rap beef is him rapping, "Hey Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes."
Yeah, and then Kobe went out and won back to back rings.
Okay, this
right
is not,
after that.
It's not a referendum on Kobe. Everyone knows that
like,
he's great.
Shaq, how do these five rings taste?
That's one of those stories that for me happened at a time where I look back at it and like, anyway, how that happened now with social media and memes and TikTok. Imagine if Shaq was at a club or whoever. Name the like. Reportedly, Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland are beefing, even though those names are not close to Kobe and Shaq. But if there was an NBA or athlete now at a club rapping, dissing the other, it would be so much bigger than it was then. And then it seemed big, but it seems like pales in comparison. Even things that are not even that old. We've got the Clipped series coming out on FX, where in looking at the trailer of it, I'm like, I cannot believe this happened in my lifetime, that this woman wearing a visor went and did an interview with Barbara Walters and said,
Viviano,
"I'm his silly rabbit," about a sitting, at the time, NBA owner, and exposed the fact that the guy was blatantly racist and would bring her into the locker room to look at black penises. Like, that's the thing that happened. and I just feel like it wasn't that long ago, but if it happened now, it would have been so much bigger, I suppose.
It was big at the time, though, and we got leaked audio too. That TMZ got its hands on. So it was. I mean, obviously, it was so huge that Adam Silver was like, "All right, you are banned for life. You need to sell your team, and we have a guy in Seattle, Washington, who's going to pay in cash. He's going to pay $2 billion out of his Chase checking account, and away you go." We knew he was been racist for years because of his. He would own all this real estate in Los Angeles and would not rent to blacks and Latinos or be very prejudiced against blacks and Latinos from renting his apartments across LA. So we knew he was racist based on his actions, but hearing the audio was really, I think, the final verdict, the gavel hitting the stone.
It's why the NBA really needs their own version, to your earlier point earlier in the show, of Hard Knocks. Can you just imagine? I mean, we have Open Gym, of course, with the Raptors, and that's great, and it's phenomenal. But can you imagine what a Hard Knocks version would have been like during that whole mess with the Clippers?
Oh, my goodness. That would be incredible.
It would have been amazing. It would have been incredible. What a great insight.
I want to submit two names to a potential roast, and they're not athletes, but and I don't know if these guys would take themselves too seriously to allow this, but a Robert Downey Jr. roast. Or a Leonardo DiCaprio roast.
Oh, I don't think Leo would do it.
I don't know if either one would do it. But Robert Downey Jr. has a lot of demons in his past. And it would probably be like 2,000 cocaine jokes.
Yeah.
and of avoiding the law, skirting the law jokes. But it would be, and then you have a bunch of heavyweights on stage. And obviously, he's an unbelievable actor. So he probably could deliver, 5 minutes of just excoriating jokes and just win the roast at the end. And one thing about the Tom Brady, salute to the writers who made some of the athletes actually pretty funny. Like Edelman and Gronk, even though it was the same tone, like, I've been riding this guy's jock for my whole career, some of them were still pretty funny. And when Gronk was unhinged, it was funny, especially when they went after Belichick. I thought that was great. But salute to the writers. I think it was like 24 or 25 of them. They wrote great stuff for the athletes.
Where were they for Randy Moss? Because he was...
I mean...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was tough.
He was really bad. Delivery was bad.
Let that be a lesson. Accept the help.
Yeah.
Well, he probably did, no?
I heard that he didn't, that he tried to do it himself. And listen, there are tutors for a reason, my guy. Like, they're there for you. No, that's a good point. Where were they for Randy Moss? As we go, lastly, a total aside, we talked about the fact that Shea and Jamal, big games, big shots in the playoffs. I would love to see them play in a series. I'd love to see it. I would also take care, because I need you this summer in Paris. You got one shot. End of the game.
Jamal Murray. Why is this even a question?
Excuse me?
Wow.
Why is it a question?
Jamal Murray. The guy's done it several times, bro. Guy hit a baseline J over Anthony Davis, who's like 7'2", my dude. One of the best defensive players in the... He's done it, homie. Come on.
Shea has done it in a Canada jersey.
Jamal Murray's won an NBA championship. Come on, man. What are we even talking about? My guy went 21-10 in his first finals. A double-double in the finals? Come on, my dude. Why are we even having this conversation?
The man was second in the MVP. What do you mean, why are we having this conversation?
Why are we having this conversation? Jamal Murray, we've seen it.
Okay.
We've seen it.
Yeah,
the blue arrow? Come on.
Yeah, totally. We got it. Cambridge, Kitchener, Waterloo ties.
We've seen it,
from Kentucky.
My dude.
Shea was pretty good at Kentucky.
I know he was pretty good at Kentucky. Come on, man. We've seen Jamal Murray hit game winners. My God, like, face-to-face with Kevin Harlan at the end of the half. Just that moment. From downtown. I can't even remember the call, but just having that moment with the play-by-play announcer after you just hit this amazing half-court shot. Come on, man. Shem, where are you at with this
one? I'm going to go Jamal as well. And I give him the edge because he's done it already, and I think he's got enough moxie to make that shot. Shea's been great, but, you know, Jamal's proven.
Jamal's hitting buzzer beaters in the bubble, dude, against the Lakers. Like, hurt, like ankle or knee, just totally jacked up. Are you riding for your flying the Shea SGA flag on this one?
Listen, he can give it to you however you want it. At the rim, we're good. Little mid-range, we got that.
And that's
step
it.
Step back three?
Come on.
What do you mean, come on?
Threes aren't really his game. It will get better, but that's not really his game right now.
I trust that Shea... Listen, Jamal's hit big shots. I trust that Shea will make the right play. If that's dishing it to somebody, accepting the double team, or rising up and hitting a big shot. But hey, we shall see.
We shall. Yo, at the end of the game, it's Joker and Murray. Two-man game. There's screens, there's rolls, you know, if the defense collapses
for
on Joker,
OKC,
which it shouldn't.
At the end of the game, it's one-man game.
Yeah, so you know who's getting the ball.
And he still puts in work.
All right. I would love to see them both hit huge game winners against each other. Like, if they can both advance to the conference finals, that would be electric. I would know when those games are on, Donovan, at 8 p.m. Eastern or 9 p.m.
Yeah,
Eastern.
9 p.m., yeah.
I don't know, Murray has the ice in his veins, but Shea really has ice in his veins. Like, there is no reaction, whether he hits or misses. I appreciate both of you. Let us know in the comments, who would you want to see roasted and who should be taking the shot at the end of the game. Shout out to Dylan Brooks. Dylan's gonna
I
comment
hope that's not
like,
shade. I like Villain Brooks a lot. I like Villain Brooks.
I love him too. Saga City stand up. Shem, appreciate you. Cab, appreciate you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, man.
All right. Thank you so much to Shem, who we say goodbye to. We keep Cabby and stick around with him as once again this week, we give you a recap of Canada's Ultimate Challenge on CBC Gem. One massive Canada-wide obstacle course, 20 extraordinary Canadians, 16 mind-blowing challenges. It's season 2 of Canada's Ultimate Challenge every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Let's recap the latest episode. Back at it once again on the Going Deep podcast. Donovan Bennett, Cabrel Richards. We break down Canada's Ultimate Challenge, which you can find on CBC and CBC Gem. And what I have found to be a real easy, fun watch. With a little bit of drum.
What? Man, we got the first twist of the series, yes. Dude. Like the team captains are forced to be general managers. Each captain had to select a teammate from someone from another team to join their team and then send one of the beloved competitors to another team. It was a nice twist and it just hit hard, bro.
Well, the timing of the twist was everything. Because we're now in Ottawa, in the nation's capital. So this is now a new region. And what I found interesting was that all of the captains are women.
Oh, yeah.
In this region, you start fresh with new standings and new captains. And so red, Courtney is their captain. Blue, Whitney is their captain. Orange, it's Jack. And green, it's Sandra. So you have some distinct female leadership in this neck of the competition.
First event of this challenge, which is the Rideau Locks relay race, where every member of the four teams are swimming up the Rideau Canal and then have to climb a ladder, hand off a baton. Like, there was more algae in that water than like I've ever seen in my life. Like, you can make a salad based on the algae in that water. Adam from Newfoundland,
You're from Newfoundland. You're from like the one province that is basically surrounded by water. And this guy was like a seahorse in the Kentucky Derby. He could not swim.
Well, I want to personally thank Adam because.
Why? What do you mean?
Well, if you'd let me finish. Because there were a couple people who struggled severely in the swimming. They all happened to share the same hue. They all were black or brown. So the fact that Adam just threw it in there and made it a little bit easier for me to watch. This brings me to my MVP, which is Sandrick, who said he is not a good swimmer.
All righty, we have a neck and neck race here between Team Orange and Team Blue, Harvin and Sandrick. Neither of these players are strong swimmers, but they are giving it their all.
I'm going left and right, feeling like a black Michael Phelps. I think we got this.
Yes, Sandrick!
Sandrick is now pulling ahead of Harvin.
They put him in the second leg because that was the shortest one. Like, he killed his leg, and I was proud of him. Like, yeah, there you go. For Team Orange, who won, they had the strongest swimmer on their team as well.
Team Green's interpersonal relationships totally falling apart. Nice moment by Jenny going to console Lekka. It's like, hey, this is only one competition. It doesn't define the whole series.
Listen. Hey, one bad challenge doesn't make a team. You guys tried hard, shit happened, it sucks. But it is not what is going to make or break your team.
It was a nice moment of humanity. You don't think?
How altruistic was it? We have an alliance. I need you. You were messing with my paper.
Fine.
I need your team to get it right.
It was both smart and empathetic. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt that she's being empathetic in that moment.
I'm a little bit more to the point. Like, I like you, but I don't like you that much. So get it together. I can't have you out here moping after you lost.
So now we go to the next challenge, which is called the balance of power. You have two retrievers of beanbags. You have a caller and you have someone who's a thrower who's throwing beanbags into the weighted plates of a scale. These giant scales that they maybe got from a movie set or whatnot, but it was impressive to see. But part of the challenge of being blindfolded is the players are picking up the beanbags of other teams. So the caller's like, no, put down the bags in your left hand, put down the bags in your right hand. So there was even more confusion.
And there's two teammates out there blindfolded. Yeah. So they, at times, and this was an issue for Team Blue, we're not sure who the caller was speaking to.
Yeah.
Are they speaking to this teammate or that teammate? Is it my left hand or is it your left hand?
Yeah, and also I'm surprised nobody ran into each other. But one thing is, if you're Ninko, you can't shoot jump shots and say Kobe. Kobe, Kobe, and miss all the shots.
If they bring me them, the bags, I'm going to deliver. Kobe! 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 That's not working.
Kobe's up there like, bro, what? Never say my name again like that.
You wanted him to say Clay?
Shout out to Team Red that wins this event, the balance of power. Shifting the balance of power, Team Orange comes in second. What was your biggest takeaway about this particular challenge?
The biggest takeaway for me was what happens as soon as the challenge is over. And the fact that Ninko is heated and upset and charged up.
You all right, Ninko?
I just don't want to talk right now.
I don't know if you're mad at me or what. The attitude's just, I'm not feeling it
we're
right
good,
now.
We're good, we're good. Yeah, we just lost. Who wants to keep talking? I don't know.
I'm tired of his attitude. I'm tired of his ego. It's not about King Ninko. I need to put him in check because we need everybody to work together. Ninko, I don't like your attitude, man.
You don't like the way I take losing. I was pissed. I wanted to break something.
I said, good game. You go, don't talk to me.
There you go again. No, I didn't say that.
I'm pissed off. Can you imagine if I had that
attitude? There you go again. There you go again.
Okay.
Relax.
Don't tell me you're off. I'll tell you that. Because you're going to get it double.
Yeah, I know you will.
Yeah, you will.
I'm going to take a breather.
Okay.
I'm
going to
take
30
seconds. It's okay. Just chill. So talk to me.
And Sandra immediately wants to talk to him. And you know when, not that this has happened to me in any of my relationships, but you know when you just don't want to talk and someone wants to talk and you just don't want to talk. And then they start flipping it like, oh, since you don't want to talk, you're the issue and you're the problem. It's almost as if Sandra knew that her leadership maybe wasn't correct. And I was trying to get ahead of it and be like, oh, you have a bad attitude. Everyone chin up, you know, smiles on your face. You didn't have that energy when Ninko was the captain and you guys were losing. So they get into it about the fact that Ninko is upset and she is trying to take the responsibility, the blame off of herself. Some sort that they had to be separated.
Ninko already has a mom and Sandra's like being mom number two and he's not here for it. So that relationship is getting further and further fractured.
Especially because, and this is a producer fist bump moment when next time Brandon Gonez, our host, is in position, he tells them about the players.
Brace yourselves for our player shuffle. Oh,
that's a joke. I've fallen in love with the family vibe that my team is.
No one wanted to get traded to Team Green. They're like, please don't send me to the Oakland A's. Please, like, don't send me to the New York Jets. The players that eventually got traded, all of them were like, please no, don't pick me, don't pick me. Usually it's like the last two kids in class, like, pick me, pick me, pick me. This was like, they're averting their eyes. They don't want to make any eye contact whatsoever. And I thought that was very telling. And unfortunately for Dan, which tells me that they believe that Dan is the best competitor in the game. Like, if he's the first one chosen.
Well, he did come second in two challenges, one of which being an individual challenge. So he's had good individual performances.
Yeah, and it's with merit. But, like, that's it was a moment for me. I was like, oh, okay. And Dan, unfortunately, has to go.
Okay. Look, one of my biggest fears about Team Green is the two guys. Ninko the Nightmare, who's just a pit bull, and Darko the Drained, who just gives up. And now I'm in the middle. I don't know how I'm going to work with this.
I decided to steal Dan because he's versatile. He's very smart. He's strong. He's quick.
That was a great choice.
It's just a color. Who cares? If you were colorblind, this wouldn't matter.
What? We'll know the difference because guess what? The chances of you going to the Paris Olympics just went down. That is the difference, Dan.
Cardi from Team Red, she chooses Sandrick from Team Orange. Jenny, again, even more devastated and crestfallen because she's the captain of Team Orange. Then Whitney from Team Blue, she chooses Adam from Team Red. So Adam goes to his rival at Team Blue. And that's going to be interesting to see how that relationship plays out that he's on the rival. And then finally, Jacqueline from Team Orange chooses Shalisa from Team Green. And she was like, what's that you say? So that was an interesting twist too. So now you have a team with three women. You have Shalisa, you have Jack, you have Jenny, and you have Dominic on Team Orange.
Jack of Team Orange says, I actually don't care. We might be at a disadvantage if there are some competitions where it's all about brute strength, but it's all about peace right now. There are some times when having more weight and more strength is beneficial. There are times when having more weight, more strength is actually a detriment. It makes things harder. So I'm interested to see how that plays out.
I look forward to future twists on this show because this one was a banger.
So you think there's more?
Why? There could be.
As those twists reveal themselves, we'll be here to react to them, break them down with you. We want to know your reaction. Hit us up online. Continue to watch. It's been fun, but it's fun to watch when we can have this discussion. We're breaking it down for you right here on Going Deep.
Don't miss new episodes of Canada's Ultimate Challenge every Sunday at 8 Eastern. Watch free on CBC Gem.